You already know the title of my message, Give the Word First Place in Your Life. Wow, think about it. We've gone through 1 week in January already. Was that not fast? Today's the eighth day of Read Through the Bible Challenge for 2023. Y'all did get your copy in the January newsletter, I pray. See, if you have never read through the Bible, let that be a challenge for you in 2023. It's not the same. They change it up. If you look at last year, they don't follow the same principle. You stay in line with it, but they do change it up. I know. Because I know some lovely lady who was typing them up went into a little bit of a, she spazzed a little bit because she didn't have them for February so she could start on the next series. But God delivered and brought her the copy she needed. All right, Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. They will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Only be strong and very courageous. He could be speaking to us the same this morning. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper, have success, and act wisely wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate, that is, be constantly in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You will. Gives you the word. And when you read the word and you apply it and use it, it will benefit you. It will benefit you. And it says you will have good success because you are the key factor in it. You are the key factor in this. So as we word up, by keeping His word before our eyes, we will prosper, we will have success, health to our body. Simply, word up. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And we'll look to verses 1 and 3. Now, Psalm 1 sets the stage for the entire book of Psalms by explaining that the study of the Word of God is the foundation of a meaningful, prosperous life. Keep that in mind. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Meditates means to mumble or to speak. Bible meditation is focusing your mind on the Word. Now, I know, Tim, you're just itching, so I'm going to read that in a voice. Okay? Okay. This is Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 in the voice. God's blessings follow you and await you at every turn. When you don't follow the advice of those who delight in wicked schemes, when you avoid sin's highway, when judgment and sarcasm beckon you, but you refuse. For you, the Eternal's word is your happiness. It is your focus from dusk to dawn. You are like a tree planted by flowing, cool streams of water that never run dry. Your fruit ripens in its time. Your leaves never fade or curl in the summer sun. No matter what you do, you prosper. Our focus and attention to God's Word is our happiness. Amen. Like it says, no matter what you do, you prosper. Well, you prosper here is not a guarantee of future financial worth of the righteous. Rather, the righteous person is always used productive, useful and productive for the Lord. And being useful and productive for the Lord comes through our study of the Word, our word level, our obedience to the Word, our acting upon the Word. See, it is the Word that sets us free. In John chapter 8, verse 32. That's my house number.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But Jesus speaking here, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, Jesus was speaking of a special truth. God's truth. Now, you look to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus here was praying for his disciples. Okay? You hear what I said? I didn't say his apostles. I said his disciples. So guess what? We are his disciples. Uh-huh. So he's praying for us also in this passage. All right? See, because a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And that is us. A disciple. A disciplined follower of Jesus. Okay. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now, John 8:32, and you will know the word, and the word will set you free. to know the truth that truly sets us free from the bonds of sin and death is to know God's Word. We need to be all in with God's Word. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. This is going to be the Amplified Classic Edition.
There you go.
If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, Jesus now speaking, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Word. Will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Verse 25, for to him who has will more be given. And from him who has nothing, what he has will be taken away by force. The light of Jesus is truth. And Jesus' truth is revealed to us. It is not hidden. But we may not be able to see or to use the truth right now. Only as we put God's teachings into practice, we will understand and see more of the truth. The truth is clear, but our ability to understand is imperfect. But as we obey, what?
Obey.
Oh, yes, obey. We will sharpen our vision and increase our understanding. Now, verse 25 simply means that we are responsible to use well what we have. See, does that make that verse a little clearer for you? See, how much we have is not nearly as important as what we do with it. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. I'm really going slow because I really want you to get this. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. This is the NIV. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Amen.
Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they had heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. They will be blessed in what they do. It is important to listen to what God's Word says. But it is much more important to, here's that four-letter word again, obey. Say, obey.
Obey.
Obey. Obey it. Do what it says. So we can measure the effectiveness of our time studying His Word by the effect it has on our behavior and our attitude. Why do you think her confession over me, a kinder, more gentler Jack? The more word, the kinder, the more gentle, the more compassion, the more understanding to know to operate the way Jesus operated.
Come on, Pastor.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Question, are you putting into action what you have studied? Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. New Life Version. Why do you use so many different versions, Pastor? Because they bring a greater clarity in it. You go to the King James and you say, okay, most of us stay with the New King James. But you got to expand. But you got to be careful. Don't get the newer versions of the NIV. Stay with the old one.
Yeah.
I'll let you know about that sometime later. I won't tell you who bought the ability to change that Bible. But hallelujah. Be careful what you read.
Yes, sir.
Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Put out of your life these things. Anger, bad temper, bad feelings towards others, talk that hurts people, gossip, rumors, speaking against God, filthy language from your lips. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other. You have put out of your life your old ways. You have now become a new person. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So, you have now become a new person and are always learning more about Christ. You are being made more like Christ. He is the one who made you. Lying to one another disrupts unity by destroying trust. It tears down relationships and may lead to serious conflict in the church. I'm talking the ecclesia, the complete body. So don't exaggerate statistics, pass on rumors or gossip, or say things to build up your own image. Always be committed to telling the truth. Believe me, it'll take a lot pressure off your life. Because if you tell one lie, you're going to tell another lie. You're going to tell another lie to keep covering up the first lie.
That's right.
Well, why even go down that route?
Amen.
Be honest. Be honest with one another. Be honest with your spouses. Hallelujah. Be honest with your children.
Amen.
Jesus said in Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed,
right,
nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light.
Amen.
You lie, it will be found out.
Yeah.
And then you got to pay all that, all that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't going to be fun. See, we are the ones who determine how much power and knowledge flows in our lives, not God. The greater the place we give the word will determine how much we receive from God. How we treat the word will determine whether or not we receive our answer and our miracles. No matter what belongs to Christ, okay, and we are not able to partake of it. You know why? Because of the measure we are interested in it. How interested in it are you? Everything that Jesus has, we have. Mm-hmm. Are you interested enough to find out and find out exactly what you are part of the inheritance? Word up. See, none of us want to fail simply because we aren't interested enough to give the word first place in our lives. Genesis, okay, example, Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Verses 29 through 33. Genesis 25, 29 through 33. New Living Translation. You see here where Esau sells his birthright. Mm-hmm. You have to go back and read that whole chapter. It's kind of interesting. And because it was probably, you know, if you look, it was actually prophesied in there of how things were going to work out when Rebecca was pregnant, okay? Because she wanted to know why there was so much turmoil going on within her belly. And so she asked God about it. What is going on here? Why is this happening? And she don't know. You know, back then, you know, people can think all these negative things. And today, some people still think negative things instead of taking authority over it right then and there to make sure it doesn't come. We don't want to speak anything into existence. All right. So, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Not by much time, but Esau was the older. Interesting, isn't it? It was prophesied back then who was going to be the leader. Because by rights, Esau should have been the one, right? You know, Jacob, you know what the name of Jacob refers to, right? Heel grabber. He was hanging on to his brother's heel on the way out. And that's why, you know, they teased him about it for so many years. Esau and them all, you know, called him, hey, you know, the heel grabber. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why God changed his name to Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay? You got to do your studying. Man, God just can open up so much to us. Hallelujah. All right, verse 29. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew. And in parentheses, it says this, but I don't know if I... It says, this is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. Also didn't help that when he was born, he was covered from head to his feet with red hair. Go back and read it. It's in the Bible, you know. So I don't know where, but that's what the New Living Translation said. Verse 31. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn. Look, I'm dying of starvation, Esau said. What good is my birthright now? But Jacob said, first, you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Esau wasn't interested in his birthright that belonged to him. He traded it for a bowl of soup. For a bowl of soup. Are you that hungry for a bowl of soup? I thought, to trade your birthright away. But see, he was looking at something in the natural. He did not see, but God saw. Sometimes we are robbed simply due to our lack of interest in the area, in that area. See, we get distracted by the natural things of life and neglect the supernatural inheritance that is ours to possess. We must stir ourselves up toward what is ours in Christ and focus on the plan God has for our life. Yeah. Now, another example, though, he was different, though. His name was Caleb. Yeah. See, Caleb, he was different. He wasn't interested in what God, he was interested in what God had for him and his nation. His interest showed that he was wholehearted, that is, sincerely committed toward God and his word. See, in other words, Caleb was all in. When his whole generation died prematurely, he didn't die because he was wholehearted towards God's word. The word is not just some common book. It's not ordinary. This is God's word. When people treat the word as a common book, their lives will break down and the adversary will have no problem overthrowing them in a crisis. If we treat the word as common, we won't receive what we need: healing, prosperity, victory, right? Financial security. You know, and you could just go on and on and on. Lightly esteeming God's word is dangerous because God meets our needs and delivers us by the word. By the word. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. And we'll see what the Lord says here. Because you got to understand this, because I think it'll really help you out, because it helped me out. I read this. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. You see, God and his word are one. Let that sink in. I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. God and his word are one. However, we treat his word, is how we treat God. When we show honor to the world, to the word, we are honored. I hope I didn't mess it up. However we treat his word is how we treat God. When we show honor for the word, we are honored by it. See, many are suffering needlessly because they don't give the word first place in their lives. When we are believing God for a miracle, there can be no room in our thought life or in our words or anything but what his word says. Especially when we face a need that we need, that we have. We are to give an all-out effort to be all in with the word. By that I mean, give it your all. Give it your best. When I was sitting there, I got that, I thought of you, sir, because of what you taught your son and he taught his son. Or if you're going to do something and you're going to commit to it, do it to the best of your ability. Give it your all. Is that not what you taught them? Amen? Give it your best. Hallelujah. Put the word first in your life.
Yes.
In every situation, simply ask yourself, what does the word say about this? Again, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Tells us, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That, by the way, was King James, if you noticed. When you're in need of a miracle or anything else for that matter, we can't allow our attention to go towards anything other than what God has said. We must be interested enough in what God provided for us to give it our full attention. We must put the word first. No matter what comes up against you, speak God's word first and put his angels to work. Yeah, put his angels to work. See, they're waiting for his word to be spoken. They're waiting for that word to be spoken.
Yeah.
And then they'll go to work. See, they ain't going to go to work unless you speak that word. Them angels are going to be sitting there. They ain't going to do nothing until you speak God's word. Because they hearken to his word. How do I know that? Well, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. New King James. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who are mighty and do his commands and obey the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who are mighty and do his commands and obey the voice of his word. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death and activate God's covenant-enforcing angels on our behalf. See, the angels of the Lord hear words spoken in faith and respond accordingly. Not only do they excel in strength, but they also do his commands. They do what God has told them to do.
Amen.
Obeying the voice of his word. Don't get confused there. You'll see my point. When we confess and stand in God's word as final authority over every area of our life, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially, it puts us in a place to receive. Jesus, the high priest of our confession, sees to it that his angels go to work on our behalf, bringing our confession of faith to pass. What's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 say? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. And my brother, Amplified Classic here, we're going to read. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Says of the angels of the Lord, that are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants, sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? It's talking about us. See, we are the voice of God's word in the earth. We are his voice here on this earth when we speak his word. When we decide to speak his words, think his thoughts, and walk in love, we become like him. We are surrounded by spiritual beings. Angels from heaven who listen for the voice of God's word in the earth. And also, demons who listen for the voice of unbelief, negativism, and fear. These are spiritual beings. You got angels and you got demons. Everybody wants to hear all about the angels. Well, don't forget, you got an enemy who doesn't rest. And his troops are on alert 24/7, listening to what we say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen?
Yeah.
For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said that.
Yep.
And Matthew 12:37. Decide to give your attention to God's word. Be all in and put God's word first place in your life. Speak it in faith. Oh, and here's the big key. Walk in love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Remove the fear and doubt and unbelief from your heart. And here's a big one. Your mouth. Sometimes you need to shut up. Praise God.
That's right.
I mean, because I talk to a lot of you. And I hear the negativism. I hear the fear.
Come on, Pastor.
There is no fear in perfect love. It casts out fear. For he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but one of love and power and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Ha, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get this. We got to get this. You know, it's not just fear. Would you get here? You need to take home.
Right.
You need to live it all week long. You need to get in the Word.
Yeah.
You need to be strong spiritually.
Yeah.
And when you become strong spiritually, you will have financial stability. You will have emotional stability.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Word up.
Word up.
Hallelujah. Fill up instead with faith in God and His Word and the love that makes it work. Spend time loving and fellowshipping with our Heavenly Father. His peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Victory comes when the Word gains our full attention. When we get fully into the Word, be interested enough in your victory to give the Word your full attention. Get full of the Word.
Amen.
Fill up on the Word.
Yeah.
And you will have the answers to what you're praying for. And you will have the victory.
Amen.
You will have the victory.
Amen.
When we give the Word our full attention and are all in toward the Word, it won't take long for the answer to come. The problem is we don't spend enough time in the Word, folks. Simply said, you got to word up, and you got to put the Word first.
Amen.
And that's why I'm saying, the more we read that Psalm 91, I hear more and more and more of you. You'll say it because we say it every Sunday. So you're learning the Scriptures. You can do that at home. You can do that in your own time. But how much time are you willing to commit to the Word to run and to have the victories you want in your life? It's a Word level thing. The Word that is in you. Because that's what's going to come out of your mouth.
Amen.
You'll find that things positive will start coming out of your mouth. You will see the victory after victory after victory. And it will take you from glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, I think you've had enough this morning. So I'm going to leave you with that. Hallelujah. The Word, the Word, the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus.